CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Marine One landing in a private walled garden near Windsor Castle, where President Trump and the First Lady have just been welcomed by King Charles and top members of the royal family. A horse and carriage procession delivering the group to the castle now. Former CDC Director Susan Menarez will testify on Capitol Hill today. CBS's Nicole Killian.
She will tell the Senate Help Committee that she believes she was fired because she did not pre-approve the recommendations from a newly reconstituted vaccine advisory panel and fire career scientist at the agency.
The suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk's been hit with 7 charges, most serious aggravated murder. Prosecutor Chad Grenander.
Just for the court's information, we did file just recently, within the last few minutes, a notice of intent to seek the death penalty that was filed by Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order requiring health insurance companies to continue covering the COVID-19 vaccine. The executive order was issued in response to eligibility changes from federal health agencies, with the FDA recommending the COVID vaccine only be covered for people over the age of 65 or with certain medical conditions. The executive order signed by Governor Evers calls on state health agencies to maintain vaccine access and requires them to respond publicly to further changes in federal vaccine policy. With the Packers back in action and the Brewers heading to the postseason, the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is reminding sports fans to look out for fake memorabilia scams. Agency officials say scammers have been posting advertisements on social media for fake sports memorabilia with high-quality pictures and cheap prices to lure potential victims. The Better Business Bureau is reminding residents to research the company before making a purchase, check for certificates of authenticity, and be wary of deals that seem too good to be true. The St. Croix Economic Development Corporation is sharing the results of its recently conducted housing survey. According to the assessment released this week, the region is seeing strong population growth but declining vacancy rates and growing housing costs. The study found rental vacancy rates dropped to 1.4% in 2023, well below the healthy range of 5-7%. It also found that over 36% of renters and 23% of homeowners are cost-burdened, and the county will need nearly 4,600 new housing units by 2050. Hudson area parents gathered at a school board meeting on Monday as the district considers possible school closures to address budget concerns. District officials say they've been forced to cut staff amid declining enrollment and increased inflation, a common theme for districts across the state struggling with budget constraints. They're now considering closing 2 schools, saying they've determined closing Willow River would save over $2.1 million per year and closing Holton Elementary would save around $1.6 million per year. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
We do have a chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms possible with a low dropping to around 63. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping in
listen
chest.
Listen to you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the general that helped save New Orleans, General Russell Honoré. He's a decorated 37-year Army veteran. We'll talk to him about the impacts the Trump regime has had on our armed services.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. 93.5 The Tap.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this September 17th, Wednesday morning, September 17. Keep that number 17 in mind as we talk to our next guest, Corrine Hendrickson, about the 17th State Senate District. Details to come right after Brittany's weather. And then in our next hour at 8:35, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, who announced this morning that she, too, will be running for Wisconsin governor next year. So we have a gubernatorial candidate coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. And that's not all. There's also tomorrow we'll be talking with former Racine Alderman Trevor Young, who has just announced his candidacy for the state Senate in the 21st district, the seat held since 2010, I believe, by Republican Van Wongard. So a lot to cover this week with the change of seasons, not just, you know, back to school, not just fall campaign season as well. But let's get to the fall part of the season with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who joins us along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down at Madison Studio A2. And I did not realize, because it's now it's dark at the start of the show here, so the show is well underway for me to notice it is really foggy up here on Lake Wissota this morning. Is that something we're seeing all over the place?
Yeah, definitely up north right now, dense fog from Eau Claire through Hayward into Ashland and Superior. That's going to be here for about another hour or two. Temperatures, too, right now in the mid-50s to mid-60s across the state. We're also seeing a few thunderstorms starting right now, pretty much from Amory through Rice Lake, and that could extend towards the Minocqua area, too. We have a front just sitting here over the northern part of the state this morning. So that's kind of the case as we go through the next day. This front is going to slowly make its way south through the state, and then the system, the low pressure itself, will eventually move into the state for the weekend. So yes, wet weather ahead and cooler temperatures, too. But not today. We're still looking very warm across the state, low to mid-80s everywhere. Some of us will be nearing 90 once again. It will be a sunny day, especially south into Madison and Milwaukee. Clouds will be increasing, though, west and north throughout the afternoon. Drizzle is possible far southwest midday. And then we're looking at more small storms sparking up again this evening, especially northeast in our state. And then tomorrow, cooler, slightly cooler, especially north, only mid-60s up north. 80s will still be felt down south tomorrow. Scattered spotty showers are expected kind of statewide, very isolated, very brief and small. But chances for sunshine still hang on into Madison and Milwaukee until the weekend. That's when that low pressure system arrives. So heavier rain and storms on the way.
Conceivably, today and tomorrow could mark the last of the mid-80s.
It could.
It could. Unless we get a nice little warm spell in October, which does happen, by the way.
It does. Even in November, it's happened. So.
Yes. Okay. So shut up, Pat. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Partly cloudy and 59 degrees. It felt a lot like mid-July rather than mid-September. Yesterday was busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg. To me, this is the first that has been actually dry. A lot of dry grass that's drying out for the first time since spring. Today, he's got a mowing job in rural Tigerton, a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And he writes, no fog in the Tigerton area. Tony writes that these 80-degree days have been killing me. It's so hot, and I refuse to turn on my air conditioner. You live on Lake Superior. You have the world's greatest air conditioner up there, Tony. The Tony also adds, it was so foggy, I could barely see the turkeys crossing the road. Unacceptable. You got to be able to see the turkeys when
Seriously,
they're heading across.
And the deer up there.
Yes, exactly. And so that's from Tony and that's from Rob. And we'll have more from Brittany coming up in 1 hour. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Also a note up here from our friends at Motherhood for Good who are saying good morning. I sense they maybe want to hear more from one of our next guests coming up. This is a candidate announcement kind of day, candidate announcement kind of week. You had State Senator Kelda Roys getting into the race for governor a couple days ago. I just mentioned State Representative Francesca Hong also joining the governor's race. There are state Senate candidates, one I just told you about in the Racine area, and now one potentially in the Nuclearis area, as we welcome in Corrine Hendrickson to tell us what she's going to be up to later today, former child care provider in the Nuclearis area. Corrine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's still really weird to hear former in front of that.
I completely, it's weird for me to say it, and it's not something we necessarily like to dwell on, but the thing that's prompting, you know, your change in what you do on a day-to-day basis is rooted in a Wisconsin legislative leadership team that did not ever seem to take everything that you said seriously about just how serious childcare and other issues are for Wisconsin families. And so consequently, what's that meant for you? What is it that you plan to be doing throughout the day today?
So it means that I guess I have to do it myself.
There you go.
So I am officially running for State Senate District 17. That is the southwestern part of Wisconsin, which we have some really good progressive Democratic roots, and we just need to get back to them. And a lot of it comes down to the lack of affordability in our daily lives, whether it's groceries, childcare, our property taxes continuing to increase because our state refuses to invest in our public schools appropriately and instead is cutting taxes for the wealthy and to keep the powerful in power. So at 10:30 this morning, I will be launching at the Nuclearis Village Park. Super excited because in Nuclearis, it's a tradition to have elk horns and there will be elk horns there as well. So I'm hoping that lots of people will join me and support me in my newest adventure.
Those are those big Swiss horns, like everybody's going to get a Ricola lozenge or something at this point.
Hey, maybe that should be my thing.
There you go. Instead of tossing candy at parades, you're tossing cough drops. It could be whatever works for you. Now let's take care of the elephant in the room, or shall we say the donkey, because we're going to be talking about primaries, and that 2026 is probably going to be a year unlike any other in terms of primaries. You've got an open governor's seat, an open lieutenant governor's seat, an open secretary of state seat, and you've already got three Democratic candidates announced in the third congressional district, and now you have in these state senate districts at least three different state senate districts. Now there will be primaries as well, and that includes in your district where Representative Jenna Jacobson has also already announced. In this case, let's just bring it down to this particular example in the 17th Senate District, there is a motivator for multiple Democrats to want to run, and that's because the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline, chairs the Joint Finance Committee. So, I mean, all the more motivation for Democrats to jump in, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also find it interesting that so far, Senate 17 is all women. Lisa White is also running. And the CD3, which is Van Orden's, is all women too. So I feel like there's a little bit of, women wanting to make sure that we can take care of our families and our communities and stepping up into this space. I think it's good there's a primary. I think we can, learn from each other. I think the voters have a right to choose because, we fought for gerrymandering. So that's part of why there's so many also interested. This seat is now winnable because the lack of gerrymandering. In our state, we have fair maps, but at the same time, have a robust primary because that's the way for the people to decide who they want on their their party ticket, I guess you would say. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to know people and proving, you know, that I'm the hardest worker and I'm the best for the position.
The comments are already coming in, including from Tony, that says it seems like a great opportunity for new faces and for new ideas as well. And now, again, I'm not looking to make Senator Howard Markline, you know, the issue is certainly not the centerpiece of your campaign, but the symbolism of a co-chair for joint finance in budgets that cycle after cycle after cycle seem to be out of sync with what he and others are hearing at all those budget public hearings around the state. Again, seems to be rather representative of why anybody is running for legislature around Wisconsin this year.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the Joint Finance Committee hearings, when you look at the Assembly and Senate hearings in office at the Capitol, they're being told over and over and over again, this is what we want, this is what we need. And then it's they refuse to do it. 2 years ago, when they did the special session for the workforce, you know, they had 200 people send letters, 100 people show up and speak to the fact that they wanted this special session bill to pass. And after the hearing, they put an amendment in and completely gutted the whole thing. And so really, we need people that are not just going to say they're listening and that they understand there's a problem, but that they care enough to do something about it and are willing to go outside of their box that they put themselves into of their opinions of what's important to, it feels like almost it's what's important to them themselves instead of listening to what their constituents have to say.
Well, I think it's pretty clear talking to Corrine Hendrickson, state Senate candidate in the 17th district, what you're going to be hearing from Republicans and others, because, I mean, we've been hearing this for 15 years or more, and it's going to go something like this. Well, there she goes again. Here's another tax and spend liberal, and she and Tony Evers and everybody else, they just want to tax and they want to spend. And, you know, we're the ones that are holding the line on taxes. We're the ones that are holding the line on spending and being more fiscally responsible. You know, that's what you're going to hear over and over again. So now that I've teed that up, what are you going to tell the voters?
So it's more of an investment. It's more how do we spend the money that we take in for taxes. Currently, our state budgets have been to the point where they encourage the people who have the wealthy and the most money to keep as much money as possible, to hoard that money. And meanwhile, the rest of us are working as hard as we can. And we're not seeing that money. We were promised with some of these tax credits that job growth would happen, job creation would happen. We don't need to raise the minimum wage because the employers will do it automatically for us. And that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is that those tax cuts have actually starved our public schools from the resources that they need. And I'm really worried, and people in my area are really worried about this next year with all the referendums that are likely to come, or, you know, if they don't pass or schools really, you know, don't want to continue to increase property taxes, what are they going to cut? The first thing is music and art and, you know, sports and all and musicals and all the things that enrich our children's lives and, you know, make them want to go to school as well and just make them more well-rounded individuals, and then allow our communities to have things that we come together over. The musical sells out every year here. I have Elkhorns coming today. If we don't have a music program, there won't be kids who can play those instruments. We won't have the fundraisers at, you know, the festivals because there will be no music at those because our state is refusing to invest and cutting it. Same thing. We are have a dire workforce shortage, but we have a huge number of parents of young children who want to work, but they can't because they cannot afford and access childcare. Those of us in the field were in the field. Sorry, see, I can't do it. Those who are remaining in the field of childcare are struggling. Two more just announced their closing that have been open for over 20 years because they can't afford to keep going because they can't charge parents anymore. They're losing kids. I'm hearing now of kids at 5, 6, and 7 are going home. We're back to the latchkeys of the 1980s, and it's just not safe and it's scary, and it does not have to be this way. So again, it isn't tax and spend. It's invest our money appropriately so that we recoup those loss, that we recoup that money and we grow our economy, we grow our communities, and we, you know, have our kids can come back to the small towns that they're vacating right now because there just isn't anything for them in there.
Yeah, and you've definitely made the link, not just for childcare to then K-12 education, but again, to small businesses. There are all kinds of employers that are practically begging the legislature to do something because they're losing too many good workers to this childcare crisis as well, and they want well-educated workers. So you're going to hear these themes and more from Corrine Hendrickson. Her website is corrineforseventeen.com. Corrine is C-O-R-R-I-N-E. CorrineFor17.com, and on all the social media sites, just put in CorrineFor17 as the handle, and you'll get her on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and more. Corrine, thank you so much for taking time to make your announcement with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Have fun with the horns at the announcement, and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Pleasure seeing you, and best of luck as you move forward. Again, there are going to be primaries in several races here, so really keep that August date in mind if you plan to vote Republican or Democrat and get to know the candidates in your local community. We'll have our homeroom segment coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner, and you can subscribe to Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about political news of the past week, and also our weekday version, which today includes a story on when you can expect peak fall color at your favorite Wisconsin destination. Travel Wisconsin is putting that together, and we have an article about that in the newsletter. Also an article about Wisconsin parents who are rightly concerned about the cuts that Donald Trump and Republicans want to make to Head Start, which is a critical link for vulnerable children to receive a good education. Again, that's in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. The Brewers were winners yesterday against the Los Angeles Angels. Final score was 9-2. Christian Yelich hit home run number 29. He had 3 runs batted in. Freddie Peralta struck out 10 over 6 innings. He won his National League leading 17th game. Peralta allowed only 1 run on 2 hits. He walked only 2. He struck out the side in 3 different innings. Brandon Woodruff will get the start in tonight's game 2 against the Angels. Pregame begins at 6:05 on several stations across the Civic Media radio network. Of course, the Packers are back in action this coming Sunday at noon against Cleveland. You can hear the pregame starting at 10 a.m. Sunday on some Civic Media stations. And the Wisconsin Badgers football team opens the Big Ten part of their schedule this Saturday. They will be hosting Maryland, and again, 9 a.m. for the pregame this Saturday on some of the stations of the Civic Media radio network. I guess we can tell the story now of Corrine Hendrickson's announcement, because she's mentioned a couple of different times how she wanted to kind of make it official here first, because it was on this show when she was talking about having to close her childcare center in New Glarus because of an unresponsive legislature, that she said something along the lines of, well, I guess I might just have to run for office. And as people got to talking about that, she said, well, I did mention it first on your show. We should probably share the final announcement here, the formal announcement. And I'm very thankful that she followed through and did, because the actual announcement will be at 10:30 this morning in New Glarus. But it was very kind of her to come share it with us today. Usually what happens is the announcement comes and then they kind of do the media tour afterwards. For example, Francesca Hong made it official in the 6 a.m. hour that she's running for governor. And now she will be joining us just over an hour from now at 8:35 to run for governor. Some of the reaction is already coming in to Corrine Hendrickson's run from Adam. Comment on YouTube: as a resident in the 17th district, I'm so happy to see the excitement to challenge the incumbent. That would be Republican Howard Markline. And Corrine talked about all the women running for office. Three women now in the 17th Senate district, three women running for the Democratic primary in the 3rd congressional district. And Tony puts up typical lazy men not getting involved. For example, Pat refusing to run for governor. Shake my head, he says. Well, tisk, Parker, tisk. What do I do? Do I prove him wrong and make my own announcement?
Well, I mean,
and if I did, where would I do it? Would I do it on my own show, or would I give somebody else the scoop? I mean, Todd Alba, I'd probably announce Todd Alba on his show.
Yeah, because it's not as much of a bang if you do it on your own show.
Right. I mean, people might think you're just goofing around. You show up on somebody else's show.
Yeah, and Todd Alba is a bang.
In fact, I could take it a step further. I could announce on all the different shows. I could announce I'm running for governor on Todd's show. Then I go on Maggie's show and say, I'm actually running for attorney general, because she's an attorney. So she could quiz me on that. And then the next day I joined Jane and Greg and said, you know, on second thought, Secretary of State. That's it. So thinking out loud tour. What should I run for tour of radio shows?
That actually could be quite the little
scam. Scam. Oh, scam. That's what it would be. Tony saying announcements come in threes, two so far. Yeah, quite possibly. And Eli says Corrine's explanation of spending in the right places hits the nail on the head. It absolutely does when she talks about those investments, because it is such a knee-jerk thing to hear Republicans go tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. And they've lost all credibility on that with this most recent bill from Trump, the big bloated boondoggle. Because it's not cutting spending. It's cutting the things that you're paying your taxes for. It's cutting health care. It's cutting nutrition programs. It's cutting farm conservation programs. But it's not saving anything. This is literally just robbing from the poor and giving to the rich. And so the whole tax and spend, you know, deficit spending thing, Republicans have absolutely zero credibility anymore. They had credibility literally for decades in this era of Reaganism. But the record proves time and time and time again, they don't actually save any money. They cut services, they give tax breaks to the wealthy, but the only times, for example, that the federal budget has been under control has been with Democratic presidents. They're the ones who are more fiscally responsible, because they take our tax dollars and actually put them to use for us. Look at how this job market has softened so badly, so quickly. The difference between a Biden administration and a Democratic Congress that was making investments of our tax dollars into infrastructure and all kinds of other things versus now, all we're hearing is cutting and cutting and cutting, but we're not saving any money. It's just going to be tax cuts for the very well off. But I mean, what to expect from somebody who is really only focused on enriching himself and his friends, as the president is. And the last example I'll leave you with is this rumor that TikTok is finally going to have a new buyer, and that it won't be a simply Chinese-owned company anymore. But it looks like the ownership is going to be from people associated with Oracle and other companies who are buddies with Donald Trump. And it's just more consolidation of the media. It's It's almost like what happened in Hungary with Viktor Orban. It's kind of the Orbanization of the media, where the companies are still going to, you know, take money from us, but they're going to bring more value to the billionaires who own them, because we have that much less competition out in the marketplace. Our homeroom segment is coming up right after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Well, Wisconsin schoolrooms are back in session, and this year it looks like a lot of students are interested in where their food comes from and agriculture education. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I've got some numbers for you on the strength of agriculture education in Wisconsin. That's next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Sally Ladston is the Wisconsin Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Education Consultant at the Department of Public Instruction. She's also the state FFA advisor, and she says they're thrilled to announce that there's more FFA chapters starting up this year around Wisconsin.
We have seen a few chapters chartering, and actually that's something that's been kind of, I'll say, booming. You know, the numbers aren't staggering by any means, but compared to the past number of years, we're seeing quite an increase in chapters that are getting interested. This year, we're excited to welcome a couple of new chapters. Winnebago Lutheran is one, iForward, which is a virtual school up in Northwest Wisconsin. And then we're also seeing some changes in how chapters are structuring themselves.
Sally Ladston with the Department of Public Instruction and the Wisconsin State FFA advisor, she says, because of all the strength in students enrolled in agriculture education and food-related classes, they've needed, obviously, more educators. She said the good news is Wisconsin's got flexible alternative licensure options to keep those programs moving forward.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
And our Wisconsin entries did very well in the 2025 World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest. 97 product classes they could enter. Congratulations to Lake Country Dairy Schumann Cheese as the grand champion winner in the cheese and butter category with their vanilla mascarpone cheese. Also, congratulations to the grand champion winner of ice cream, sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato. That's peanut butter chocolate ice cream from Kirshner's Super Premium Ice Cream in Chautauqua. You can see all the winners at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
We do have a chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms possible with a low dropping to around 63. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, soybean crops are sitting in the fields. China not interested in buying. We're talking tariffs with James Vanderloo. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Boy, there's a lot going on today. 7:35. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning, September 17th. We just heard from Corrine Hendrickson announcing her candidacy for state Senate. 1 hour from now, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong all about her run for Wisconsin governor, joining a growing field there. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Trevor Young, who is a former Racine alder who has just announced he's running for state Senate in the 21st District over in the Racine area. And if you can't catch all this live on the radio from 6 until 9, or social media, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, then you really ought to get this show by podcast so you can dip in and hear some of the highlights. So head over to Spotify. Sign up to follow the show or Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and never miss a moment of what we do. You can also get connected to all this through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, welcome to our homeroom segment that we do every week at this time. Talk a bit about public education in Wisconsin and the things that impact it. A lot of those things come from the state capitol, and not just the state budget, which is all done now, but certainly all the other ways where lawmakers can introduce bills that are helpful or even harmful, as the case may be, depending on, you know, what people in the Assembly and Senate think of our public school system and what ought to be done with it. Somebody's got to track all these things. And for the Wisconsin Public Education Network, that would include our friend Bryn Horton, who joins us for a little update. Bryn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Nice to have you along.
Yeah.
There's always so much beyond the budget that could get done for our schools or to our schools, yes, as the case may be. So right now, the fall legislative session is just getting going. We never really know just how busy or not busy they'll be at any given point. So there are bills that are introduced. Some may get a committee hearing. Some may go to the floor of the Assembly or Senate. Some may just be introduced and not come up at all. But you have to note that they've been introduced because, you know, these are things that conceivably could happen. So as you're looking beyond the state budget at what the legislature could be considering this fall, what kinds of things are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that we're keeping an eye on, which I feel like the fall is always a time of hurried introduction of bills because they haven't really done much since the budget passed. But both sides of the assembly introduced, well, they haven't been formally introduced yet, but gave press conferences on packages of education bills that they're planning to introduce to the legislature. Soon, I would imagine they're getting co-sponsored. And so it's interesting to see the play between both of those sets of packages.
Do you want to run through like the highlights of each package, the Republican package and the Democratic package?
Yeah, and this is fully going off of the press conference, sure. Press conferences that I've listened to because I haven't seen the bill texts of them yet. But the Democratic side is introducing bills for healthy school meals for all, which has long been a topic that that the Democratic Assembly members have tried to get through in the last couple of sessions. There is a bill about voucher transparency and having the impact of those dollars on tax bills. And then also there is a bill around budget and financing and the things that they're trying to do to balance out the lack of funding that came in the budget. And then the Republican side, my understanding is there's a bill around math curriculum and changes to math curriculum. I'm sensing that might have some of the same type of connotations that Act 20 did for reading. That's the guess that I'm going from that one. And then a parents' rights bill, which is also a bill that they've tried to get through a couple times in the past. And then also some bill around school discipline and teachers being able to do what they need to do to help with student behavior, since that seems to be a talking point across the nation of teachers not feeling like they have the ability to do what they need to do to control student behavior.
So those are just some of the things that you might see in the Democratic package of bills, in the Republican package of bills. Looking at some of the things that are on the Wisconsin Education Association Council website and things that they're following, you also see kind of the same, shall we say, division between the two parties, where one is looking to maybe enhance prep time for teachers, while another may be seeking to micromanage prep time for teachers. And as we mentioned with Peggy Wirtz Olson from WEAC a couple of weeks back, I mean, some of these bills, again, they may not go anywhere, but just the introduction of them is noteworthy. For example, restricting the kinds of flags that can be displayed in public buildings like schools and in classrooms. There's always something about, cursive handwriting as well. And certainly, and then on a slightly broader level, state testing standards. And so I really kind of feel like there's this tug of war, if you will, between micromanaging, our educators and giving them the resources and flexibility to teach our kids.
Yeah, it's, I think, interesting in the cross specs of local control and the way that Wisconsin school districts have been created to give school districts and local school boards local control. And yet they're constantly being given ways that they need to do things, even though that might not be something that works well in their local school district. And so I think that's a constant look, at least, is how are we making sure that school boards are being able to have their local control rights that they were given by the state statutes.
We also have, we talked about this recently. It was kind of news to an old guy like me that cell phone bans, I guess I just thought they were there and they're not, and it's become a hot discussion topic again. And I'm sure that I think there's at least one bill dealing with cell phone bans, and there will probably be others that you'll have to track in the Capitol as well.
Yeah, and that's an interesting, because I believe that the cell phone bills tend to have bipartisan support. And what I've heard from that is that, because there are a lot of school districts that have their own policies, and what I've heard is that their hope is to, in order to pass a bill like that, that school districts then have the ability to be able to say, oh, see, it's not us. It's the state telling us that we have to do this. So when there's pushback, that they have something to fall back on, which I guess is a nice way of them thinking that that's good, that the state, that we can fall back on the state. But I do think there's still a need of that. There's a reason why we have that school districts have local control, because school districts are so very different from each other across the state.
Yeah. We're talking to Bryn Horton, and she follows for the Wisconsin Public Education Network the various bills that get introduced at the state capitol that could have an impact on our schools and on your kids' education. And again, from the Republican side, we see just such a focus on issues that involve such a small percentage of what goes on in society, much less our education. In this case, I'm referring to various gender restrictions on participation in sports and other activities. That's another bill I'm assuming Republicans will try to bring up and push, even though they know that Governor Evers would likely veto anything resembling that.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I do believe that there is a lot of talk about the fact that the Senate might not possibly go into any more floor sessions the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. And so even though, introductions happen, and those bills will definitely get referred to committees and actually have public hearings, which doesn't happen for a lot of bills that could actually fix things or help things in the school districts. It's those dividing bills that get public hearings.
Right. They do. And I'm sure there will be something. There is a bill, of course, to require English only in mm-hmm. schools. We talked about the flag display. There's another bill that would require, you know, the national motto "In God We Trust" to be displayed yes. in all courtrooms. Somebody just asked me yesterday, like, did that law really pass in Texas that requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every classroom? I'm like, yeah,
yep.
That's, you know, that's a thing. And that which means it's going to encourage, you know, some legislator in Wisconsin to try to do the same thing. So you're right. We're going to hear a lot of what you would call what, social issues or wedge bills mm-hmm. or anything like that. Those seem the ones that get the public hearings and get some attention.
Yes, absolutely. And there's never any funding attached to those. So, you know, we can display the motto in the schools, but it's going to cost the school districts money to have to do all of that stuff. And so that's the other part of it, too, that comes with is we can give us all these things to do and then don't give any money to be able to accomplish those effects.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this with Jimmy Kuska a couple of weeks back when we talked about scoreboards and how I did not know that there still wasn't a shot clock for high school basketball. But mm-hmm. that's because every school would have to not every school, but many schools would have to replace yeah. their scoreboard. And they don't have the money to replace mm-hmm. a scoreboard. So if they don't have money to replace a scoreboard, they sure don't have money to be putting up, you know, religious symbols and mottos and things like that in our schools as well. And all of this, Bryn, really comes back to, you know, a central theme of this segment, and that is providing our public schools with the resources they need. That includes the voucher transparency that we've mm-hmm. talked about here. And by the way, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, you know, just this week kicked off a public campaign to increase the transparency of the voucher program so that taxpayers know how much it really costs. So head over to wisconsinnetwork.org to learn more. But Bryn, you know, again, it really is what you're hearing from the Democratic side is let's give schools the resources and the tools they need rather than more restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. Ways to be able to find more funding to be able to help close that funding gap that's going to be left with the budget. And the main one that I think that I'm really watching on the Republican side is that there is a bill to get rid of the $325 automatic revenue limit increase that the governor got passed into law through his partial line veto and then was upheld. But there is a bill out there to get rid of that now. And so that's the kind of thing that, you know, the punishment that comes along with being able to get that. Now we need to take that away, even though that's not actually more funding from the state.
Yeah, that's just it. Because of the creative use of the line item veto, you now have this per pupil adjustment locked in for, you know, 300 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're not giving an increase in overall general state aid, you know, it really doesn't mean much. But of course, that's what Republicans are going after. They're going after the line item veto rather than putting a focus on what can we do for our schools? What can we do for our kids? And I guess I'm not confident that a bill that would get rid of the 300-year extension will be accompanied by, okay, we'll do an extension for a couple of years. No, they'll just get rid of it entirely.
Yeah,
we have seen how that goes. There's also bills out there for everything from requiring civics education to mm-hmm. tuition and fee remission for veterans and dependents, technical colleges leasing their facilities. There's just so many things that have to be followed in the Capitol, and Bryn Horton does that for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Bryn, thank you so much for doing all of that and for taking some time to give us a little update this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Bryn. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
As we mentioned, it is a day of campaign announcements. Corrine Hendrickson announcing her run for state Senate earlier this hour. And then less than an hour from now at 8:35, State Representative Francesca Hong, newly announced candidate for Wisconsin governor, will join us to talk about why she has chosen to run for that office in 2026. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today, Matt Nair on Air follows this program. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach from 9 to 11, Bennett Goldstein, a reporter with Wisconsin Watch, will be joining them at 9:35 this morning. The Todd Alba Show, you can catch that from 2 to 4 today, and then the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 at 5:06 this evening. In the 5 o'clock hour, General Russell Honoré will join Maggie to discuss putting the military into the streets of American cities. Also on Maggie's show at 5:30, we'll hear from State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim about increases in health insurance premiums. And then you can hear Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 until 8 this evening. Actor Mike McGill from Shameless will be joining Pete at 6:30 this evening, and comedian Greg Schwarm will join him at 7:20. All that ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. There's also a podcast with Earl Ingram, and we'll talk to him about that in less than 15 minutes to see what's going on with the What's Going On podcast. But first, let's check in with Jimmy Koska from Civic Media, who's the sports director, follows some of the news stories around Southwest Wisconsin as well. Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. You know, it's funny because we're sitting here mid-September, and I know it's the heart of football season and everything like that, but you know, all anybody can talk to me about is the Milwaukee Brewers and what they've been able to do right now. And I got to tell you, it's quite the ride right now.
It's a very nice ride, and plenty of people have been able to enjoy that ride for free because, Parker, why? What are we doing one last time on Friday?
We're giving away free tickets.
Free Ticket Friday. That's exactly it. Club level tickets. So again, if you don't have that Civic Media app, get that puppy downloaded, and you'll be texting us keywords throughout the day this coming Friday, the final Free Ticket Friday of the Brewer season. After that, Jimmy, I'm thinking tickets get a lot more expensive as we move
on. Yeah, they get a little more expensive. That's when they start adding the auxiliary press box to AmFam Field, and you know, it's a little harder to get into games. Can't just get in standing room only and sit there for, you know, $5 above the visiting bullpen and let them know how exactly you feel about them.
Yeah, nope, it doesn't work like that. But there will be October baseball, which is a nice thing, and I really am counting on the Brewers not just to get this bye and not be in the wild card round, but to advance beyond the division series. And, you know, look again, these are not household names for the Brewers. There's names I scarcely remember sometimes when they take the field, but I don't feel like we should also sell them short and say, well, you know, if they lose in the first round, that's how it goes. I think we can hold higher expectations of these guys from what I've seen.
Yeah, and the fact that too, that if they can stay ahead of the, you know, the Cubs, which they're up by 5 games, I think, this morning as we enter the day, 5.5 games, with just a handful of games remaining, they can get that bye out of the wild card round. They don't have to worry about playing in that best of three. Then they go right into the NLDS and, you know, and have home field advantage there. And they could have home field advantage too, throughout the postseason, just given the fact that their record is so great. They are a few wins shy of the best record in franchise history. I mean, there's a lot of good vibes happening right now with the Brewers. And like I said, I know we're in the heart of football season, and you know, everybody here in the company is going to talk to Mike Clemens about, you know, what the Packers are doing. We're going to see the Badgers, you know, coming up again against Maryland this weekend. But it is all about the Brewers at the moment in terms of what people are talking about sports wise, which is really, really fun to see.
It really is. And by the way, when you say a handful of games, let me run through that for folks. When they say, well, is it really the last Free Ticket Friday? Yeah, because there's only one more homestand after this one. You've got the Angels here tonight and again tomorrow night. But then the Brewers head off to St. Louis for 3 against the Cardinals, and then to San Diego next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for 3 against the Padres. And then they come home a week from this Friday for the final homestand of the season, 3 games against the Cincinnati Reds. And that's it. There's just these 11 games left in the regular season.
Yeah, and those 3 games against the Reds, what is fun about that is that they typically have a lot of fan-centered giveaways, fan appreciation night, things like that. So those last 2 games are actually pretty fun, even if at that point the Brewers have wrapped everything up. It's a lower stress atmosphere. There are still a lot of cool things they do at the end of the regular season to make sure fans stay engaged.
Well, let me tell you, this works out well for some folks that plan ahead. Even if it's accidentally. And what I'm saying is I got a college buddy who we try to get to one Brewer game every year. And we just couldn't pull it off. We just couldn't get the dates to match up as we were going through. And finally he's like, you know, we got to the last weekend of the regular season. And we said, okay, that's the one that's going to work. So we got tickets for that last homestand again, Cincinnati. This was before the Brewers got real, real good. So we managed to get some discounted tickets for the last regular homestand. And we're going to have ourselves a grand old time because we planned ahead, or because we were accidentally lucky. We'll take either one.
You know what? It's better to be lucky than good sometimes. So I'm with you. It's so cool though, because, you know, there's, you hope that the series is low stress for the Brewers going into the postseason and that you can just enjoy the baseball atmosphere. But yeah, that last homestand, usually what you get is you get a handful of goodies to take home and put in your collection, as I've done, as you could tell here many times over the years.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Look at that. That's a museum back there on your shelf of swag. And of course, you also root for the non-injury. You know, it's like, no, you don't need to make that diving catch. It's okay. Don't jam your thumb. You know, no compound fractures, please. We're heading into the playoffs. So every play like that is going to be a little nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the other part too is I think the thing that you really watch is, you know, pitching and just seeing who lines up for the postseason and trying to figure out who's going to be the guys in the bullpen, be the guys of the rotation. Typically in those first couple of rounds, you're talking about a pitching staff carrying just 12 guys. They do allow you to carry up to 13, but usually that's not until the later rounds, the best of 7s where that becomes an issue. So if you're looking ahead to the Brewers and their postseason roster, they'll be looking for the 26 guys. It'll probably be a 14-12 split in hitters to pitchers. But then as the playoffs go further, if the Brewers are fortunate enough to get to those points, that's where you would see them add the extra pitcher. So watching how the pitching staff and the rotation sets up for the playoffs is one of the more fascinating parts of MLB baseball.
Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Koska, great to talk to you. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jimmy. All right, coming up in our next hour, we will talk to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast through Civic Media and new candidate for governor, State Representative Francesca Hong. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A royal welcome for President Trump and the First Lady in Windsor as they begin an unprecedented second state visit to the UK. They were greeted by the King and top royalty. And driven in a procession of horse-drawn carriages to the castle. Air traffic controllers warned Spirit pilots away when their passenger plane came within 8 miles of Air Force One over New York as it flew the President and First Lady to the UK.
1300, traffic's off your left wing by 8 miles, 747. I'm sure you can see who it is.
Utah prosecutors present what they say is damning evidence after charging Charlie Kirk's alleged killer with aggravated murder. CBS's Katrina Kaufman from Provo, Utah.
Text messages between him and his roommate, who was also a romantic partner. You know, he seemed to really confess to this crime in these messages.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.